What up, Ty?
On a side note, David just texted me. Beyonce has become the first Black woman to hit number one on the country Billboard charts.
Yeah, while she's also number one on R&B, right? She number one on two Billboard charts at the same time. She like Michael Jackson. Can I say something about Beyonce? And I don't want to be like taking his hate. I ain't really a big fan of Beyonce's voice. Like, I will admit that she's talented and she's, you know, her songs are obviously popular and like, you know, I root for her success, but also as a singer, even out of the group of girls, I wasn't necessarily big on Beyonce's voice. I was more of a LaToya Luckett girl. Like if LaToya Luckett had stayed in the group, LaToya Luckett would be what Beyonce is right now, except maybe she wouldn't be married to Jay-Z.
The movie Dreamgirls was extremely.
Oh God. I actually
for Beyonce love. And her life. I don't know if you saw the Dreamgirls movie, D.
When I play like Listen, that is one of my favorite songs because I get it as a survivor of domestic violence. When
I don't know the song, which is this from? Dreamgirls?
Yeah. When she the song Listen, it is amazing. Like
but it was an analog for Beyonce's life, right? Sorry, I'm going to keep getting us back on track here.
Yeah, no.
The actual movie where she was singled out and picked, even though she wasn't the best and she was the cutest, which actually happened to her. Anyway.
Yeah,
that pretty much sums. Yes, it's a perfect, the song is a perfect analog for Beyonce's life.
But you know, like when I see people and we, David has, because I love country, I'm more of a 90s country girl. But David likes, but he played that song when we were having our Geiger, which I have coined Geiger Easter. But
I think it's a Dyke Easter. Sister, I was like, I don't get it, but fine, you do you.
But his sister was like, oh, when he played it. And I was like, she's from Houston. Like, you know, the Houston Rodeo is the biggest rodeo in the United States. Yep. And it is also the Black Rodeo at the Houston Rodeo is the biggest in this United States. And Beyonce's from Houston. So I'm like, why isn't this country? Why isn't she country? Like,
well, that's the thing. She is like she from Texas, not from Texas.
Exactly.
She from Texas.
Exactly.
Like she's legit.
And they have like fucking cattle roping and all of the fucking.
Yeah. Bull riding, all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been for 20 years.
Yeah. This idea that she's not qualified to write a country album or some shit. It's absurd. Now, I will grant you that if you've actually listened to the Beyonce album, one of the conclusions you can draw from it is it's actually not a country album. It is an album that features Beyonce doing a range of things that happens to include quite a number of country songs. So I guess, like, how many songs does it take to get you to a country album? I don't know, but the thing's got like 27, 28 songs on it. So like that it's got enough songs to make it a country album doesn't necessarily mean it is. Anyway, and that's not me nitpicking. Like what I'm saying is I wouldn't, as someone who, I mean, I wouldn't call myself music aficionado, but I wouldn't categorize it as a country album.
I respectfully disagree. I do, because I love, like, this is Texas Hold'em is one of
but that's not what I'm saying, because Texas Hold'em is a country song.
It is, and a line dance song, and there hasn't
and it's a banger.
There has not been a line dance song that has been this fucking popular in ages. And I go to the country bar. And I love it. And my obsession right now is like watching the TikTok videos of people doing the challenge, I guess. And I love to fucking see it. I love to see it.
I think it's not that how many songs on there aren't country songs is a good question, because it's quite a few. But it's not a bad thing. I'm just like, I'm nitpicking, like delineating between what is and isn't in the country. So anyway, it's a banging album. It's okay for you to support Beyonce. It's great that she's number one in multiple charts. That's not even the point of this podcast. I don't know how we got on this topic. Beyonce ain't trying to overthrow the government and become a dictator in 2025. So maybe we should get back to topics more in line with that.
Yes.
One, two. So Trump is set to go to trial here at least the jury selection in his New York hush money election interference trial is set to begin next week. But he has made numerous attempts here to attempt to delay that trial. Those attempts have fallen flat. For instance, on Monday, a state appeals court judge denied his emergency appeal to delay his trial based on arguments that an impartial jury cannot be selected right now. And this is a quote from his lawyers. It can't be selected right now based on prejudicial pretrial publicity. Pretrial publicity that he is largely responsible for creating by constantly railing against the judge and the judge's daughter and the indictment and the entire process and ranting and raving
and
about
have created a series of issues and committed a series of crimes over a number of years, resulting in people thinking poorly of him as he's dragged off to court for those very crimes.
Exactly. So the judge in that situation was like, dog, like you're responsible for a lot of this shit and you were egging it on. We can't allow you to get off the hook here legally because you creating all these fucking problems. Get the fuck out of here. But realistically, though, in a lot of high profile cases, especially in New York, like everyone's going to make that argument if they're a high profile figure. And it never succeeds because the remedy for that is not to drop the charges or dismiss the charges or move the trial. The remedy for that is taken care of in the jury selection process, the voir dire.
And I think everyone underestimates like how many politically ignorant people there are, even in, you know, Manhattan. They could just be like, who? Oh, I don't really follow politics. There's plenty of those still.
You know what, Carol? That is a totally fair and accurate point. I hadn't even given it any thought, but you're absolutely right. There's so many people who just like, oh yeah, Trump's going to trial. Who knew?
I don't really like to talk about that stuff, you know?
It is a very New Yorker thing to be New York centric. Although I would imagine like a lot of these people, even if they're not following politics closely, and obviously, you know, Trump's going to have 100% name recognition. But, you know, a lot of these people might only know Trump just from him living in New York for a majority of his life or from The Apprentice or just that he was president. And don't know anything about the specifics of the charges or the case. Like, not everyone is buried in the internet, such as myself and Ty and Carol. You've unplugged here a lot recently, and I'm proud of you for having some kind of level of self-restraint in that regard. I have OCD about the potential ending of our democracy, so I can't unplug, but kudos to you.
I kind of have. I'm just on doing stupider things. Well, yeah. You know, games, looking at paint.
That's
sometimes using the paint.
That might actually be more productive than what I do. So, again, kudos to you. And then on Tuesday here, like literally the next day, Trump lost the last ditch appeal to delay the trial, where his lawyers argued at a hearing that the trial should be delayed to give him a chance to challenge the gag order in this case. that Judge Merchan put in place. It was actually modeled after another decision in the DC court in that case. So once that withstood an appeal in DC, I feel like Merchan going out of his way to limit the order in certain regards in a similar fashion made it appeal proof. And then the fact that it's been slightly expanded to include the family of court officials, including Merchan's daughter here, given that the ranting Trump was doing on social media was totally out of line with the facts as it pertained to her. Like, basically, she has a job, and her job does a lot of work for Democrats. And Trump was saying that that means the judge is biased. But, like, if that's the case, well, Trump appointed Judge Cannon in Florida. Well, how was she not biased? Because she wouldn't have her job. Like, see the math we're doing here. And also,
but those sorts of things don't need to see. That doesn't matter. They just keep throwing out things like how you talk to a child, and they keep just pitching 1,000 ideas, thinking maybe you would find one of them plausible, even though the very listing of all of those different ideas at once is evidence that they are not, in fact, credible, and their ideas are not plausible.
Bingo. But you can't blame them I guess you can blame them for trying, because the judge, again, was like, hell no, son. So
I was just taking that from like my experience with my 5-year-old over the past couple days.
Okay.
So I wasn't even talking about Trump. I was, but
I don't know if that's like,
I can solve his master Trump plans by tuning into what a 5-year-old thinks.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if you were comparing Trump to a 5-year-old or you were commenting on how your 5-year-old is more like Trump than he should be.
I always wonder that myself, but no, my child acts like a child should act.
Well, that's a positive. That a strike in the pro-life column. And anyway, never mind. I was going to say, I wonder if Trump mom and Trump dad had access to abortion, would they have to, anyway? They could have saved us a lot of headache down the line here. And it's ironic that Trump is making all these legal filings, trying to get his case delayed in court or get his charges dropped, given that over the weekend he was saying that it would be a great honor for him to go to jail for violating the gag order. Like, that's a direct quote, the great honor line.
It's very stupid.
He's very, very dumb. I mean, I do wish
one of these judges. Maybe that means he's coming to terms with it, or he like he must be pretty afraid and think it might be a real chance if he's even going to recognize it as a possibility.
That's exactly what's happened here. He knows
he's acting like he has a choice.
He's gone beyond the line, and he knows it's a possibility. And this is how he deals with the insecurity of the fact that he could possibly be locked up. Despite the fact every judge in existence seemingly giving him the benefit of the doubt at every turn in all of his various cases. But a direct quote on that from his untrue social post: if the partisan hacks want to put me in the clink for speaking, he said, clink is just like, what year is this? Put me in the
clink. Huskow.
For speaking the open and obvious truth, I will gladly become a modern day Nelson Mandela. It will be a quote, great honor. Well, that's all one quote. He also posted, quote, we have to save our country from these political operatives masquerading as prosecutors and judges, and I am willing to sacrifice my freedom for that worthy cause. He said he want to be Nelson Mandela.
Didn't he post like
he can do the going like, to jail part?
Nelson Mandela was a national hero.
I know who Nelson Mandela was. Just so we're clear.
I was saying like Nelson Mandela and like his imprisonment led to his election as the first black president of South Africa. An event that led to the end of apartheid in South America. Trump wants to do the literal opposite of ending apartheid in America. Nelson, man, fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. Sorry, I was on Tony Maga's podcast earlier. Fuck him.
No, it was such a good episode, D. Like,
I appreciate that.
You were awesome. Like,
I do good. Okay. I do good work sometimes.
Plenty of times.
Now, if only I could be as awesome on our podcast as I am on Tony Michael's show.
But he's already telling people, like, I will, you know, he's priming people to be ready to give up their freedom for, like, his stupid bid. It's like, let's try it again. I mean, I don't have the militaries behind me this time as much as I, but, you know, just get to your problem.
Well, here's the thing, right? So if he does want to try another coup, if he loses in 2024, he does have a couple of issues there. One being that he's not currently the president, so he can't engage in a coup to stay in power. He would have to somehow manage to make sure that Biden is removed from office, and there's no real feasible way to do that. And also, like, an attack on the Capitol, that won't work again because he doesn't control the military. You know, the way he installed, was it Chris Miller as acting defense secretary to hold off on the National Guard? Like, he doesn't have that power. So, like, there won't be a multi-hour delay in response to attack on Congress. That's not feasable. Like, in sending a mob to the Capitol, well, okay, great. You tried that once. They're going to be ready for that. So you're going to have to come up with some new shit. You're going to have to go, like, plant bombs, designated survivor style in the Capitol, days or weeks ahead of the joint session of Congress to kind of take them out. But again, this leaves a problem. Biden's still at the White House. Like, you know, there's no way to solve for all the, like, there's no, the coup won't work unless you already have the power where you can declare some kind of emergency and then try and remain in power. And then, you know, fingers crossed that you don't get removed by the military or some other law enforcement. There's not a path for that. So, and, like, bigger picture again, given the state of affairs, look what's happening in Florida and Arizona. Biden's up in the polls here. Trump campaign ain't got no fucking money. They don't have anybody on the ground. Biden's opening all the,
Does the money that they're making up getting, that doesn't count?
So
what if you say you made $50 million something dollars at a fundraiser? Does that count? If you say you made it, do you have that money?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Carol, because Trump has made absurd claims over the weekend about his fundraising prowess, saying that he raised $50 million in one event. I guess this was like in an attempt to counter the Biden campaign raising $25 million from that joint fundraiser with President Obama and that other dude that we don't really kick it with no more. That other former president, you know, the one with the awesome wife that we all love. They raised $25 million, which was more than the Trump campaign raised in all of February. So I guess, of course, Trump was like, I refuse to be outdone by
reality.
Well, Joe Biden, but yeah.
Or reality.
Whatever the number is, double it. And then, like, of course, a guy who's lied about the value of his properties and lied about the net worth of his company and lied about every single thing possible couldn't possibly be lying about raising $50 million in one fundraising event, especially if you saw the pictures of this shit. Did either of you see the pictures? That thing looked fucking empty. Ain't no way. I mean, I guess.
Was that where Roseanne was? Thing.
Like, what I posted, like, it was limited to 100 attendees.
Wait, I don't think 100 people were there from the pictures.
$800,000 to be there.
Well, I don't think it was 100. I don't think 100 people actually arrived just from the looks of the picture. It was like bare. There was no one there. I mean, there were people there, but it was like 20, 30 people. Maybe if you don't count Trump and his family and like his cronies. And then again, it, like it's totally plausible that he lied about raising that much money. Because, I mean, I guess maybe you could give him the benefit of the doubt. And maybe he's talking about $50 million between, you know, his super PAC and his campaign and the RNC. Maybe you could give him. But, like, why would you give him the benefit of the doubt on fucking anything he says? Dude just lied and said Democrats wanted to ban abortion or wanted Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade. Oh, sorry. It's been a long day. And we're recording this at night as per the usual.
Roe v. Wade.
So, yes, English is difficult when it's your first language and it's like 11 o'clock at night and you're fatigued and it's been a crazy day. But, yeah, so it's entirely possible that he lied about that. And then while he was at it, he made remarks to the crowd there, his wealthy donors, that he would be promising them more tax cuts if he was reelected, and also proposing the idea of whiter immigrants.
Oh,
whiter, not whiter.
Well, yes, whiter, as in like complexion, as in
Norse, right? Oh, I recall. He didn't say shithole this time, but he used a series of artful euphemisms.
Yes, he would prefer more Aryan immigrants.
Trev, what did he say? Like, I was listening to your pod today, and he's like,
coming out of horrible.
Why
places.
Can't they come from Norway or Sweden?
Well, it's funny you Finland. Say that. I have the exact quote here, according to an unnamed source. Trump was saying, "Quote: There are people coming in from because you know how there are people. They're coming in from the prisons and the jails. They're coming in from just unbelievable places and countries." Countries that are a disaster. And he's like, and when I said, you know, why can't we allow people to come in from nice countries? Because, of course, like the nice countries are nice, more Caucasian white. And the shithole countries are in Africa, as he's previously alluded to. And I'm trying to be nice countries, you know, like Denmark, Switzerland. Don't we have any people coming in from Denmark? How about Switzerland? How about Norway?
Oh, why would any of them want to come here?
To our shithole country?
Yeah. I wouldn't leave any of those places for here.
I don't know. I mean, if I was black, maybe. I might
you
want
are
to come
black.
Over.
Oh, shit. Did you not know?
Well, when you put it that way, if I were living in any of those countries, I might be tempted to come here and be closer to my people.
No, not maybe. I'm actually really drunk.
Yes, yeah. I'm surprised you're still upright at this point. Kudos to you for not keeling over. I respect you for, you know, just hanging in there, staying in the game, not totally clocking out because I was worried. But yes, once I knew you were taking shots, I was like, oh, this podcast's almost over. And we hadn't started yet. But yes, audience, if you didn't know, I am black. Fucking surprise. Hope you enjoyed that reveal. A lot less people died than like a gender reveal party. So at least we got that going for us.
So last week we were talking about how Trump finally came up with the $175 million bond.
Oh, yeah. But I love that they denied.
Oh, that. Yeah. That's exactly what happened, actually. Shortly after it was posted.
I'm happy, guys.
I'm excited for you. I'm glad you're excited to be a part of the Part of the Insurrection podcast. If only we could make everyone as joyful about this occasion as you are. Now, I know you're excited about your husband, but I would like to take credit for everyone's joy. yeah, so the court rejected that filing shortly after it was posted due to missing paperwork, including missing a current financial statement. But that may not have been an accident, as it appears that an insurance company may not be financially solvent enough to cover the judgment should Trump lose the appeal, the full $464 million. I think.
And then it stipulates somewhere that like they don't need if he loses and they don't have the money, then he'll pay the rest or some bullshit.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in just a second. But from a financial standpoint, I think if you look at all the numbers in their books from the statement that they did post, should they be forced to cover the full $164 million judgment, they would be in the negative. Like if they were somehow able to liquidate all of their assets, some of which are
a Truth Social.
I don't know.
Wild speculation.
But so if they've got things, yeah, if they've got things like municipal bonds and shit, maybe you could kind of get rid of those. But like stock options and shit that's hard to liquidate, like even though it may be a particular number on paper, trying to sell that off in a short amount of time in order to cover this judgment, it's likely impossible. So this company may not even be fit financially to cover the bond. And then more importantly, as you just alluded to, after Tish James raised questions about the sufficiency of the bond and noted that they haven't been admitted into New York, she requested that they prove the bond by April 15th or it won't be upheld. Again, that's the same day as the beginning of Trump's trial, or at least the jury selection process. And then as part of the filings that the Knight Insurance Company put forward, there are some specifics in there about how should Trump lose the appeal, that Knight Insurance won't actually be paying the judgment. It'll be Trump's responsibility.
Yes, they said that. Yeah, they said that.
That is the whole point of the fucking bonding company.
If it goes to the judgment, we won't pay it.
That's the point. That's the whole point of the bonding company, to put the money, to fucking put the money up and pay in case Trump loses the appeal. And then like the bond will be paid to the state of New York because they won and they won the appeal and they'll have the right to their judgment. And it's on them to collect their money from Trump. And then if some of the shit that Hanke's been saying in public, it doesn't even seem like he took anything from Trump as fucking collateral.
Yeah.
So he didn't have any assurance.
That's what we call sketch.
This seems like another scam to delay the enforcement of the, like, it seems like a scam to delay the enforcement of the judgment. But more than that, it's insane that the appeals court lowered the bond amount from $464 million to $175 million, given that, like, what has Trump done to warrant that? Because the last thing that happened between the end of the trial, the setting of the judgment amount, and the appeals court lowering the judgment amount is that, what's his name? Oh, Alan Weisselberg committed perjury in the fucking trial. Yeah. That's the only thing. So you're rewarding this dude for his star witness going back to prison by letting him off the hook to the tune of $300 million. What are we doing?
I mean, that judge is probably scared for his personal safety and that of his family.
No, the appeals court. No, it's multiple judges.
You don't want to be the one who puts him in jail for like violating bail or.
No. This is the civil case. Yes. Yeah. This is enforcing.
I zoomed out for a second. Yes, I know it's a civil.
Like, they are, the stochastic terrorism that they're doing is to keep people, like, to make them, like, yeah, I don't want to be on this jury.
Well, this, not a jury in this case, the appeals court gave them a break. But yeah, I mean, I guess theoretically, the appeals court is like, hey, we don't want to be targets of Trump shit either. But, and it's just, man, this is crazy. And like, it's ironic because this fake bond the Knight posted, like, maybe you missed it, but the Saudis brought LIV Golf down to Trump's property in Florida this weekend. Yeah. So there's no telling how much money they dumped off into his pockets over the course of that event. Like, if he hadn't posted this bond, Letitia James could have went down there and seized that golf course before the Saudis got there. LIV Golf would have been paying the state of New York to use that golf course. Like, the fact that this dude manages to continuously pull out these fucking scams and schemes to just by the skin of his teeth, get out of this shit. It does get fucking frustrating. So I totally understand people's frustration that he's not ultimately held accountable in such a way that it spells doom for him. But I mean, we're getting ever closer. Like there's no more delay in this trial in New York. Like that is coming to a head. That's definitely going to begin next Monday. And that's inevitable. Like, I know people like to poo-poo it in the charges. But again, like, if you look at line number one from, like, the opening statement, it's basically saying Trump used his company to illegally launder money to hide payments to a porn star to illegally affect the outcome of the 2016 election is right there. And we wouldn't be dealing with all of these things today in all likelihood if Trump hadn't committed this initial fraud on the American people.
That is true. And that was something like when Neville said that this is unprecedented because there hasn't been a president that has exhibited this behavior before. So when you say, like, when they're like, oh my God, this has never happened before, et cetera. It's like, yeah, because, you know, we haven't had a fucking president that has done this before. So here we are.
Here we fucking are. And then all you can really do at this point is vote for Joe Biden, because, I mean, that's really your only option. Or do you want a dude who's out here trying to overthrow the government and stay out of jail and keep his fortune so he can bring doom and misery and rain it down upon the entire...
It's not your only option. It's only your only option if you want to have an option again after this one.
Exactly. All right, kids, time for our shithole of the week award. Do you, by any chance, happen to have any nominations that you would like to submit?
I don't know, Arizona Supreme Court.
Four
out of six of them.
I got an even better one. I have Governor Ducey specifically for saying that this ruling from the Supreme Court is not the outcome that he would have preferred, and saying that lawmakers should heed to the will of the people and address the issue with the policy that is workable and reflective of our electorate. Well, first of all, those Supreme Court justices who issued the ruling today, as you're listening to this, it will likely be Wednesday or Thursday. We recorded this on Tuesday. He appointed a number of those, four out of the six, I think. So, bro, you largely responsible for this. And this idea that you want, like, the lawmakers to heed to the will of the people. This dude passed a 15-week abortion ban in the state. If you just go look at a poll from last year, 62% of residents of Arizona believe that abortion should be available in most or all circumstances. This motherfucker ain't listening to no will of the people. This is total hypocrisy. Get the fuck up out of here. You, sir, are hereby awarded the shithole of the week award. Tired of these dudes. All right, Ty, since you're drunk, I'll let you go first. You got any closing thoughts? You can decline. All right. We'll wait until you're sober next time. Carol, do you have any closing thoughts?
You know, I'm always the same. Pick a cause and do some concerted action to it. Even just a little thing you can do. Write a couple postcards.
Well, can you tell us what you're doing? So you have a position at the
Farmer's Market. Yeah, so I recently joined the board of my town's Farmer's Market, and I'm going to get a nonpartisan voting rights organization to come do a voter organization table at least once before the election, and I'm excited about that.
Hey, look, taking your online passion and bringing it to real life where you can make a difference and potentially get people in a position who might not vote otherwise to register to vote and show up on election day, November 2024, regardless of who they're voting for, because the more people that vote, the better it is for our democracy, regardless of your chosen candidate, except for in this particular set of circumstances, you do need to vote for Joe Biden. I'm sorry. Just it is what it is. If you want to continue voting.
I will say, like, North Carolina is my home state. It's where I was born and raised. And seeing Michelle Morrow, Mark Robinson, it is so fucking, I can't say, like, disheartening on so many levels. Like, my family is very apolitical, and that disappoints me in a lot of ways, but I need them to get out and fucking vote, because this is who the GOP is putting up, who are in their mind on earth fucking two, the best fucking candidates, like someone who is a misogynist and a woman who has advocated and said publicly that Obama should be executed. Like, I don't understand it. I don't need to wake the fuck up, because this is now. Like, they cannot sit back on the sidelines anymore. Period. Period. We are fighting for our fucking lives at this point in ways that I never fucking thought that we would be in this position of. I cannot understand. I cannot reconcile that this is where we are. Like, seriously, like, my heart breaks every fucking day to look and see at where we are, and I don't get it.
And now you understand why Ty had to have shots before we started the podcast. And that concludes this episode of Part of the Insurrection.